I want to refer you to observations and recommendations section, because the rest is an overview. Both chairs have gone through it. And remember that this goes then to Frank without the edited, you know, like click on the comma and cool stuff. We don't change content, but it's just going on. So if you have picked up anything, please draw it to our attention. But I take it we can move to page 11. Is that okay? Right. On page 11, the first one is a point we made that there's nothing peculiar here. I know people have their concerns about the current president, but the planning and budgeting process, the relationship between the two, is something that's there in the Municipal Systems Act. And it's what many countries have been doing, frankly. Some countries like India and so on, let's not talk about the Soviet bloc countries, have had these 5 or 10 year plans as well. So many of us would argue this is long overdue. We don't understand why it's taken so long, especially since the NDP was voted on by cabinet and adopted by parliament about 4 or 5 years ago. The second point, if anybody's got an issue, they will raise it with us in the paragraph referred to. 6.2, there's this presidential fiscal committee. Now, this committee has to report then to the finance committees and the appropriations committee. And we need to find out how it's done. So, you know, we're saying that Treasury must do it in its quarterly reports to us. Thirdly, we note that despite all the challenging circumstances, the budget has been reasonably redistributive. Fourthly, we say that with the low economic growth rates, there'll be a 50.8 billion shortfall, and we have to focus as Parliament on the quality and efficiency of spending, so must the executive, obviously. The next point is 6.5. Obviously, the primary reason for the shortfall is the economic growth, but there's also issues that FAS themselves alerted us to, which is declining tax morality, declining tax compliance, and as a committee, all parties agree that in some or other measure, SARS has to be more efficient and effective. And that's the point there. The minister himself has said that subsequent to coming to our meeting. 6.6. Yeah, there's nothing inevitable, said the minister in response to a direct question to him, that we will necessarily lose the 60% outer threshold debt to GDP ratio. He himself said, if we do what we can, I think he was referring mainly to decisive action on structural reforms, we can avoid that. So then the question that arises is, what is the executive doing about that? And what are we as different parliamentary committees doing to hold them to account? And so that point deals with that. 6.7, cost containment measures. I think we all agree on that. 6.8. We can't say that the South African economy is growing slowly because of the global situation. That argument held to some extent, at least, or to a large extent in the past. But for now, given that there's growth, global growth of about 3.5 to 3.7, is growth in our continent, not least our own region. It means that we have to look more at our own subjective responsibilities to stimulate growth. 6.9, you can't just speak with the credit rating agencies whenever there's an issue that they're about to downgrade. There has to be policy certainty and so on, and confidence in provided by the way we manage government and parliament and the economy as a whole by all the actors concerned. 6.10, the contingency reserve. We're worried about what the meaning of that is. 6.11, the constant extraction of money from the reserve fund. 6.11, on SAA, we need more information as requested. 6.12, what are these stringent conditions? We want them done as soon as possible. 6.13, Of course, 95% of the wealth of our country remains in the hands of 10% of the population. And this reinforces the need for radical economic transformation. The Black Industrialist Program is part of that. The decision to introduce a public procurement bill focused on youth, etc. We welcome the CEO's initiative. We also support the Competition Commission's market inquiry into data prices. 6.16, the Minister of Finance will strengthen this collaboration with relevant stakeholders. We don't want to repeat the points we constantly make, but obviously the points we've made before still apply. For example, we've constantly said that it's business, labor, government, parliament must work together to stimulate growth with civil society and the people out there. The SACO agreement, 6.18, the committee recommend the National Treasury improve its monitoring and outstanding. This is a point come from Comrade Shah and the one after that as well, dealing mostly with issues that NCOP is preoccupied with, but all of us are. 6.20, the UNICEF story, 6.21, we're referring this to the Appropriations Committee. I've spoken to the committee chair. The minister kept saying that we mustn't procrastinate. Well, those are words. Let's deliver. So that's basically the report. Any comments, any questions? Nobody. Yes, Mr. Meany.
Thank you, Chair, for taking us through the report. I have a broader set of issues and questions, and that is the whole, I mean, colleagues are aware that the budget process is a creature of statute and is set out in terms of the Moneyballs Act. And so for me, the question is whether in terms of the process that we followed and also in terms of the report that we've compiled, whether we've complied with the Moneyballs Act. The applicable sections obviously are Section 6, Section 8, and Section 12. Section 6 dealing with the proposed fiscal framework, which would be dealt with by separate committees over 30 days. Section 8, the criteria that we need to use to take decisions. And Section 12, of course, dealing with the revised fiscal framework, which is dealt with over 9 days and via the joint committee. And it seems to me that we've fallen foul of the Act in at least two respects. In terms of process, we've conflated the process to deal with the revised and the proposed fiscal framework. So that's the first point. We've omitted to comply with Section 6, which of course says that in dealing with the proposed fiscal framework, they should be dealt with by separate committees in separate houses and should be dealt with over a period of 30 days. And then it seems that the report falls foul of the process in two respects. First of all, it also conflates the revised and proposed fiscal framework, but then it omits to apply the Section 8 criteria in making decisions about how we deal with the revised and the proposed fiscal frameworks. And let me give you a good example. I mean, the Section 8.5b test says that we as a committee must ensure, i.e. we must make certain that debt levels and debt interests are reasonable. And it would seem to me that if we look at the evidence, that debt levels and debt interests are not reasonable. And I say that for the following reason. If you look at page 29 of the medium-term budget policy statement book, Treasury itself says that gross loan debt is expected to increase from 2.5 trillion or 54.2% of GDP in 2017 to 3.4 trillion rand or 59% of GDP in 2021. The most important words being, absent higher economic growth or additional steps to narrow the budget deficit, the debt to GDP ratio is unlikely to stabilize over the medium term. That's the first point. The second point is if we look at page 68 of the document where the main budget framework is set out, that we see that the primary balance over the medium term is not just negative, but is also increasing. which means that with revenue we can't cover non-interest expenditure or debt service costs, which means that debt levels must increase over the medium term. Then if we look at page 27, which deals with debt service costs, National Treasury tells us that debt service costs will remain the fastest growing category of spending over 3 years, and that's crowding out social and economic priorities. In fact, debt service costs will cost R1 billion more in 2017-18, R2.4 billion more in 2018-19, and R6 billion more in 2019-20 compared to the main budget. And then finally, if we look at page 50 and 51, where National Treasury sets out their fiscal risk statement, there are three scenarios, the scenario C being an unlikely scenario, but in scenario A, Treasury says that growth, as a result, debt to GDP ratio would not stabilize, and in scenario B, which is a reasonable scenario, debt would grow rapidly, reaching over 80% of GDP by 2022-23. And so I think the only conclusion the committee can reach, if it applies the Section 85B criteria, is that debt levels and debt interest costs are not reasonable. We can only conclude that. And the reason for it is clear. And the reason is on page 20 of the medium-term budget policy statement book, where government says that the decision in respect of the proposed fiscal framework is no decision and defers the decision to next year and to a presidential committee. Now, under those circumstances, the committee, which in terms of the law, has an obligation to ensure, i.e. make certain, that debt levels and debt interest costs are reasonable. We can only draw the conclusion on the evidence produced by National Treasury itself, looking at its debt management strategy, looking particularly at the primary balance, debt service costs, and the fiscal risks, that debt levels and debt interests are not reasonable. Chair, and based on that, I think that we need to rethink how we proceed. I think there needs to be a pause. I think we need to go back to the Moneyballs Act, and we need to comply, which means that we actually have to produce two reports, one report on the revised fiscal framework, another, which we need to do in a fairly short period of time. The other report would be on the proposed fiscal framework, which we've got plenty of time. The Act gives us 30 days. And in respect of both the revised fiscal framework and the proposed fiscal framework, I don't think that the committee can possibly recommend that Parliament adopt either the revised fiscal framework or the proposed fiscal framework. Because in terms of the law, as far as the committee's role, it's not just simply to make recommendations. We have to make recommendations about whether to adopt or to amend the fiscal framework. And those obligations are set out in law. So I think, Chair, I would propose that we pause and rethink our approach completely.
Members, do you want to respond to that? Thank you.
I want to get clarity on what Honorable Miller is saying, because I had thought from the presentation by the minister and the acknowledgement by National Treasury to say, given the sluggish economic growth and the challenge we are faced with, obviously the amount of revenue that has been expected will not be met, but also the cost of servicing debt is also going high. But there must be a way that Treasury then chop and change the Fed so that there can also be some cost containment. So is he saying the framework that the minister has put before us is not meeting some of those things that he is trying to raise. Because in a subtle way, I'm reading him to be saying he may not be able to agree with us adopting the revised fiscal framework. Am I reading him correctly?
Well, it's fine. He can respond when... anybody else wants to comment? Mr. Lees. Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think essentially the difficulty here is that... Yes, there's probably tapping my phone, but... Mr. Chairman, the issue here really, I think, is more of... Is essentially, I mean, there's the question of how one deals with the fiscal framework and the proposed and revised, and that's fine. But in terms of the debt level, there's an obligation on us to make a determination about their reasonableness. And the difficulty comes in is that even the Minister and National Treasury seem to accept that they're not reasonable, and that action needs to be taken. But the framework that we've been asked to make recommendations on does not include those remedial steps. And so one's faced with having to make a decision about a fiscal framework which the Minister and National Treasury both, I think, say they need to take steps and that they'll be announced in February. But that doesn't help us make our decision now, because now we've got to make a decision on what's in front of us, not on something we don't know about as yet, which presumably will be, we'll deal with in February. But right now we're dealing with a fiscal framework which has been presented. It's been presented in a way that even the presenters say it's not sustainable. But we're being asked to recommend that Parliament adopt it. That's the difficulty as I see it.
I don't know what they mean.
The thing is that, can I just alert members? There are rules in Parliament. One cannot stop somebody from raising questions unless they violate the rules. And if you disagree with that person, you have to engage with them intellectually, politically, ideologically, strategically. That's what's required. I don't think a chair can be expected to say to any member here, you can't speak. So can we once again just accept the rules of Parliament? Charlie, is there anything wrong that the Chair of Finance is doing by allowing the DA to speak?
Well, it's a democratic right to speak.
There's nothing we can do about it. Now, can people engage with the DA? I'm just going to suggesting the Chair is naive and is allowing the DA to get away and so on. Can we just deal with the issues, please?
It's a democratic right of each representative in Parliament to speak. It's in the Constitution
and in the rules of Parliament.
But say, the Minister said, if we do absolutely nothing, we're going to land up with this figure of 59.7% gross loan debt. If we do absolutely nothing, we're just sliding deeper into the problems. What he also said, and what we also acknowledge, is to restore confidence. If you don't restore confidence, your economy is not going to grow. If you don't restore confidence, you won't get foreign investment, and you won't get domestic investment. That's the crucial thing, linked to this picture on page 29. If that's where your personal finance, your bank manager will tell you, when are you going to pay me back? I'll help you, but there's a turning point. And that's a principle that features here. I just want to bring that angle in, Chair. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to add to what the Honourable Lisa said, and also the Chair there, Shoulder Beer. I am just concerned that there is, if that is the correct term, a disjoint between what is happening in our economy and what is happening in other economies, you know, across the world and even in Africa, because we have very specific circumstances impacting on that. And my concern is, you know, exactly what Charles de Beer said. Now, if we don't address that issues, we are not going to restore investor confidence and get the economy to grow. So I don't know whether we have dealt with that. You know, we seem to be very quiet regarding the real issues. That is just my contribution. Thank you, sir.
Can I help?
Firstly, the point Mr. Mania makes, Tandi will remember, and Pinky, they came up in 2015, sorry, in the budget that we did. And it also came up because the PBO, I think Sean has been preoccupied with it. So actually, apart from the statistics that Mr. Mania refers to, there's nothing new in what Mr. Mania is saying. We collectively took a decision, Tandi, you'll recall, on how to manage this process. I'd like you to help here, Tandi, and to respond to the issues, please, because you're the most experienced member here with Pinky. So what we decided to do was, because we felt that, for a variety of reasons, but essentially we said we can combine both reports in one. And what we will do is keep the debate separate. I even approached the DA to ask if we can have one debate, because we were doing two debates, remember, on the same report. One of the members of the DA agreed, but the other one, who's the senior member, then said, no, it's not allowed. I think they consulted with Mr. Steenhuisen or something. So we then agreed we'll retain one report, and we will...
I'm really struggling to hear you.
Yeah.
I don't want to point to what the cause of my...
Yeah, okay, can we please pay attention, because Tandi, you're the most experienced here, really, on these issues. Can you help with them, please, man? Instead of saying, you know, things like we can't, you know, you knew they're going to raise these things.
No, the issue is the talking that's going on. I find it difficult.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking Tandi to pay attention, because we need help here. Tandi, can I draw your attention to the fact that Derek can't hear? So can you kindly keep quiet? Okay, so can we... No, but the rules of Parliament apply to everybody, including you. You're not above the rules. No, but fine. At this particular time, it's actually a sensitive matter. It's also a matter that deals with the Money Bills Act passed by this Parliament. Yeah, fine. So basically what we are saying is, what is in the bill, what is in the Act, sorry, requires us to have two separate reports. Agreed. It's all clear there. And we had agreed that because from 2009 onwards, the committee was having one single report. I asked Alan whether we did two separate reports. He said no. Everybody agreed to do one report across the political parties. The DA in 2015 raised the issue. We addressed it then. Sean Muller raised the issue. We addressed it then. So in that sense, what Mr. Mania is raising is not new. Now, why did we decide to have one report? Because the issues spill over in a way. It's very difficult to separate them. Secondly, around this time of the year, when the people drafted the Money Bills Act, and I spoke to Comrade Nene many times, he laughed about it. They were too ambitious about what we could do. And they didn't understand that, look, they didn't appreciate fully that it's the last, especially the medium-term budget policy statement, it's the last quarter of the year. Right now, we have got five bills before us, and we've got BRRR, and so on and so on, so it's difficult to actually find enough time, given the load with this committee. Thirdly, there was a recognition of a lack of capacity and resources. Fourthly, there was nothing that was found to be outside the law. Within the law, committees can actually... decide on how they manage issues. What we can actually do, if people insist on this, though it will be so trivial, is between Zakele, Charles, and me, and Esther, we can go now and separate the issues out. Or we do it now. It's a simple thing. It's the same report. The next thing I want to suggest, with due respect to the people raising it, whether we spend 9 days or 30 days, we're not going to arrive at substantially different conclusions. The people who know the report best are Charles, myself, and the team, coordinated by Esther and Takele. We spent hours on this report, actually. We read a lot on this report. And we can fine-tune the report, but I don't think at this stage we need to make any drastic decisions. What we can put in our report is a recognition that we need to fast-track the amendment of the Money Bills Act, and we have to decide whether to have two or a single report. But we will have separate aspects. One is the revised, Pinky, this is the point.
Okay.
You see, there's two aspects. The one is the revised fiscal framework for this financial year.
And the proposed.
Yeah, and then the second aspect is the proposed fiscal framework for the 3 years. We can separate the issues out even now.
Okay.
If you give the 3-4 of us, we can do it for you if that's what you want. But we must separate that from the other issues Mr. Mania is raising. Those are policy issues on which we won't agree. It would not be correct to use the strict letter of the law to rationalize differences around policy issues. And in that regard, we don't agree. You feel that what we can also do maybe is make the report tougher and express our serious concern about where things are.
Yes, yes.
That we can do. I myself felt the report is too light. Were it not for, it's not tough enough, were it not for many other things we've had to do over the last 3 days, and if I had more time, personally, I would have liked it to be tougher. But what we can maybe say is that express greater concern about the debt to GDP ratios. But we will have this endless debate, Mr. Mania. That's a policy issue about how far you can go. Now, the IMF and World Bank know-how says 70%. Some people will say, yes, but that applies to countries in the developed world where the prospects of growth are greater than developing countries. Sean Muller says most investors want a much lower debt-to-GDP ratio. We can observe those things, so we can tinker with the report. The question Mr. Mania raises, maybe we need to address it. It's there, but we can address it more starkly and say that debt levels are very high, and we think the 5 or 6 things that the minister referred to that have to be done to avoid reaching that outer year position have to be accelerated, and the committee will exercise more stringent oversight. There's nothing inevitable, even by what the minister says, that we will reach 60% in year 3. So what I'm saying is we can resolve these issues without making it a huge, like, legal matter, without like being sectarian about it, and to strike some compromises, that we will do some of the things you're requesting, Mr. Mayor, it's in the law, next year this time, and even in the budget process if it's necessary, but here it's the MTBPS process, so it's next year this time. Secondly, we will then look into the Money Bills Act. In fact, one of the reasons I've been delaying personally on my side and juggling the bit around is because that's the issue. But I'll strongly suggest, whether it's 9 days or 30 days, we're going to come to much the same conclusions, and we'll continue to have our policy differences because you are the DA and we are the ANC. We're not going to agree. We do agree things are very grave, and maybe we should say that tougher. But we don't think it's all doom and gloom. We think if we do the things the minister himself said, we must hold the committee to account. Then to say further, to be fair, we have asked, you see, what we try to do between Zakele, the two chairs, and Esther and so on, is we listen, I take notes, everyone takes notes, Charles takes notes, we listen to what you say, and we try to put it into recommendations. But the truth of the matter, comrades, I've raised this thing from 2015 and I get slapped down by my own comrades on this thing. This is too much, we can't deal with budgets in an intellectual, philosophical way. We have to have concrete proposals. When we ask colleagues to give concrete proposals, nobody gave a single concrete proposal up till 10 o'clock today. So it's left with Charles and me. So in short, we can deal with some of Mr. Mania's concerns, which are quite legitimate, by improving the way we process the empty BPS and the budget by allowing the chairs to intervene and say, no, focus on the concrete facts and figures. But when the comrades do that, chairs do that, we get slapped down and told, oh, you're interfering unduly. So we must get more effective in the oversight of entries and budget. On that, Mr. Mania, I agree with you. But our policy issue should not be used as an excuse. Right. Chandi, please help. You were late. Can I summarize
before
what you said?
Before I help, I want you to stop sulking. Kobay shall be...
But can I summarize to you what you said? Because I'm interested in what you said.
No, I want you to summarize after. When I've
no, no, because no, you are one of the most experienced. What he said, you were not here. How are you going to respond to him?
I know what David said, fine. Even when I was not here. He says that we must follow the Money Abuse Act. Let me tell you what he said. You see, I was not here, but I'm going to say, tell you what he said. First, he said you must not adopt the report. You must delay it up until his questions has been responded to. No, I'm a Sangoma. Let me explain to you. I'm a Sangoma. You don't know. Secondly, he said that we must apply the Money Abuse Act and follow the law. If we not, he's going to take us to court. But you see, today I'm going to be very nice to David because I need him to understand. Sometimes I do that, you see. Sometimes I'm very good. Yeah, sometimes. Because I'll tell you, it happens at a point where he's right. Where he's right, I have no option but to say, you see, in terms of the Money Bills Act, he's correct. If you want to deal with the fiscal policy, as it relates to the coming three fiscal years, you don't do it in the manner in which you need to. It suggests, or it used to be done. Parliament needs to be alive to its own responsibilities. So for the first time, Comrade Charles, we're going to take a different approach from how we used to adopt both the MTBPS and the fiscal policy, because that's the prescriptive of the law. So where he's right, it's a fact. You cannot want to fiddle with that, otherwise they take you to court and then you delay the process, and you don't want to deal with issues of adjustment in a delayed manner, because we want to adopt the report and move forward, okay? That's what we need to do. Secondly, on policy matters, David, let's agree to disagree. In terms of the projections were made. It's mere projections, and they might have not been realized. And I want to remind you that, lest you forget, I'm the one who actually said they will not be realized. I challenged Minister Praveen Gordhan when he was tabling those projections. I said they're not going to be realized. It was not the DHA. It's not only the DHA, because the best researchers who always do the work. We do our little work where we can. The issue is, we also don't want to be philosophical about how we suggestions. And I said last week, when after Mike has presented, I said two things that are the issues that we want to deal with thoroughly. And one of them was that revenue growth is challenging your economic growth, and we need to deal with that issue. So one of the things that we need to deal with the challenges of the tax policy. And it's a recommendation, because I said to you, there is a perception that the reason why revenue growth was higher than economic growth, it was because of withholding of tax refunds. It's an allegation that has been made by the DA. It needed to be tested. We needed to look at those figures. So we said, as part of the recommendations, there should be a balance between your revenue growth and your economic growth, so that it shouldn't be that the productive sector is not being employed to its fullest capacity, the economy is growing, but we keep on raising taxes to an extent where contributors will not be able to sustain the needs that we need to do. Because once we raise it to a particular level, we have no option. That's why when we're debating the issue of fiscal consolidation, Mike was very clear to explain what were the reasons. Because we were able to say, let's address those economic challenges. And one of them is the employment of the productive sector to the best of its ability to perform. So I think we agree, but I want to pursue David and Mazamba, and that we adopt the report with those harsh, you call it harsh, I don't know what you call it, because you literally be accused of being philosophical. No, I don't want the chair to be saying I'm philosophical, you know. Sometimes I might sound very rhetoric when I speak, so I don't want to be accused of that. So I'll borrow the words, at least I can quote it, the words come from the table there, to say, because I would have preferred to say, with the concerns that we carry in terms of economic performance, and show that, and much as we're saying it to National Treasury, basically we're saying it to the Revenue Department, it's only managing the budget. There are those who must perform, those who are dealing with capital projects, infrastructure development. If they don't do the right thing, it's not going to. So, Chair, people who know how to speak in English, Antonio, they will write good English words of what I'm saying, but they know what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that the productive sector must be employed, and there must be a balance between revenue collection and economic growth, and we need to address challenges of the tax policy. So those are more than three concrete.
All of them are there.
Thanks, Chair.
All the recommendations.
I hope you are happy after all this. I did not find anybody.
No, that's fine. Now, can we have Frank Jenkins, please, man? Oh. I asked Frank to just do some work.
Chair, the table is breaking. I don't know.
It doesn't surprise me. Frank.
If you want to speak into the mic, please. Yeah. Can somebody vacate with an official?
Yeah.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. I think the two issues raised were, one is procedural and one is goes to the substance, the Section 8 issue. The procedural issue for me is not a train smash, if I can use that colloquial language, whether there's one report or two reports. In the past, the committees have decided to do a consolidated report. I don't find that in contravention or in non-compliance with the Moneyballs Act. The time frames are there to allow Parliament to make amendments to the budget, but to stay within the annual budget cycle. So whereas the MTBPS report can be done within 30 days and the revised fiscal framework within 9 days, nothing prevents the committee from doing it sooner if it's ready to report. And last year, as was said, we did a consolidated report in 2016, I believe 2015 as well, and there was nothing wrong. The House accepted it like that.
The whole 5 years before that, according to Alan, there's only one report that we know.
The other issue, Chairperson, whether we're complying with the Moneyballs Act in making certain statements on the MTBPS. Chair, that's a policy issue which the Moneyballs Act actually made a choice when it was drafted. At the time, we looked at what is happening in Kenya. In Kenya, there's a what we call principles of fiscal discipline. But the Parliament holds the executive to account. So when the budget is introduced, the committees there actually make a finding of whether the executive actually complied with those principles of fiscal discipline. In South Africa, we're doing it the other way around. The executive introduces a budget, and Parliament can only amend that budget while it's complying with fiscal discipline. So when I'm reading Section 8, Subsection 5, it says, when amending the fiscal framework, a money bill or any taking any decision in terms of the Act, it must ensure, and then what Mr. Maney has indicated. So in terms of the MTBPS, Parliament does not have to approve the MTBPS. We just need to report on it. So it's not a decision that's taken, it's a report. The recommendations are made. The Minister must respond to those recommendations when he introduces next year's budget. If the responses are inadequate, that's a trigger mechanism for Parliament then to go and amend the fiscal framework. And in amending the fiscal framework, we must look at subsection 5 of section 8. But in the MTBPS, that provision, in my view, does not apply to the point where Parliament can't make the recommendations to say, where Parliament will be non-compliant by not saying anything. But clearly, there's grounds to say something, but we don't have to call it non-compliant with the Act. We don't have to bring in legislation. That's my view. I mean, the committee is free to report and make recommendations as it sees fit, knowing that it leads forward. So, Chair, that's my only comment at this stage. I don't know if there's something else you want to
say. I see some clarity. So, while in terms of the Money Bills Act, we should have two reports, that this committee, or these committees since 2009, have been having one report, is not something that is like ultra virus, right? It was certainly in the period we got here, Tandy, Pinky and I, you know, you were here before, in 2014, it came up as an issue. I'm not going to repeat that. So there was not much happiness amongst the DA, but they sort of reconciled to it. So you're saying it's not something that is illegal as such. It's our decision. And we can even put a motion here, which will be carried by the majority, that this is how we do it. But, you see, we passed this law. It's not an executive bill. So we did it in good faith. It amazes me that they were so ambitious, the comrades and colleagues who did this, because realistically you can't do many of these things, as we've discovered, and we're changing the law. So what I'm saying in short is, so you're clear that if we were to have one report, it would not constitute a legal breach. And if it did, that means everything that's been happening since 2009 is questionable, right? So the second thing to say is that we could separate, Frank, if that's what they want for now, the fiscal framework for this year from the... What we have been doing, to be quite frank, because how much are we going to see? You see, if you have two separate reports, let's be realistic. You'll have like one page. What are you going to do? 1.5 pages, 2 pages on this year's fiscal framework. And the remaining 10 or 12 pages will be on the outer years. You know, the overall framework. So you're going to have two reports, a bit clumsy, but you know, you get a 2-3 page report on the amended fiscal framework, and then you'll get a longer report on the proposed fiscal framework. Because this year ends in about 4 months anyway. So we can do it, it's very mechanical. I still think you have one report but separate the issues. That's what I feel personally, but something we can think about. Well, then if you look at technical, we can just excise the first 2 pages from the rest. So, Mr. Mayor, having heard everybody, have you got a way forward that is taking into account your concerns but also the legitimate concerns of your colleagues?
Chair, let me make some comments and I'll try and propose a way forward. I mean, first of all, ultimately we have to comply with the Act. I don't think that that is in dispute. We might interpret it differently, but we have to comply with the Act. I don't think that that's in dispute. First, I mean, the Act is very clear. There's a Section 12 and a Section 6 process. What we're busy with at the moment is the Section 6 process dealing with the revised fiscal framework, which is dealt with by a joint committee in a period of, or inside a period of 9 days. And the report needs to, it's all very well to have one report. I don't agree with that. I think we have two reports. But then the reports have to actually deal with the revised fiscal framework and the proposed fiscal framework as the case may be. This report doesn't do so. This is a report on the medium-term budget policy statement, which is not the report that we're going to debate tomorrow, because if you look at the parliamentary program, we will be debating consideration of the report by the Standing Committee on Finance on the revised fiscal framework. Well, that's not this report. I'm not sure what report we'll be debating tomorrow. So I believe we need to comply with the Act. There need to be two reports, one dealing with the revised fiscal framework, which we need to deal with in a fairly short period of time to comply with the Act. We can park then a separate report on the proposed fiscal framework, which we need to deal with over the next 30 days. But the process is also, the process of dealing with the these two different, with the revised fiscal framework, the Act is very clear. It talks about the finance committees and a joint committee. So the proposed fiscal framework, the Act is also clear. It refers to each committee. So the two committees, the committee in the NCOP and the committee in the NA, are going to have to consider the proposed, the report on the proposed fiscal framework separately and adopt it. So in sum, we need to comply with the Act, and it's very simple. We need to pause. We need to compile a report on the revised fiscal framework. It needs to be adopted by the joint committee and then by the two houses. We need a separate report on the proposed fiscal framework, and that report needs to be adopted separately by the Standing Committee on Finance and the Select Committee on Finance. It's really as simple as that.
It's not as simple as that. But we have replied to you about why we do it. The words on the paper are simple. Frank Jenkins is saying it's not a legal train smash. And we will therefore to take a decision on the basis of the discussions. We're asking for some sort of compromise. What you're doing is just repeating your argument. You're not offering a compromise.
I don't think we can get together as a group and decide not to comply with the Act.
Well, we are complying with the Act, but in a form that's different from what you're saying, and it's been done like this since 2009. It's been done like this for 3 years, I think, since you've been here. So how come, if it was so brazenly illegal, you haven't raised it since you first came here? But I see Tandy is even Hannah.
Yeah, Chair. You see, when talking about philosophical, it's when David Maynard used polemics. Chair, I want you to listen to me. You know, you always speak about people who are philosophical. You see, this man used polemics to try and be difficult. I'm going to point to you to what David is doing, Chair. First and foremost, when we sat last week, if anybody had a proposal on the revised framework, should have tabled it as part of the proposals that were there. David Maynard said that he was going to give us his proposal Friday. They were not there. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, nothing until now is there. So if David differed with the content of the report as we tabled it, he could have made his proposal, tested it in the committee. We either agree or disagree with them. They were not there. They are not there. Now he hides behind process matters to challenge our policy position without an alternative policy proposal, right? Secondly, it's very easy to do what David wants to do. The Select Committee can go sit and come with the very same report. It will be the same, but we'll just have two separate meetings and then we'll have complied with that proposal as based on the Money Bill itself. Because whether it's two reports or not, they can actually break for 15 minutes and bring the same report and we'll have complied. If that's what you want us to do, we'll do. You're not bringing any new proposal that goes into the revised framework. If the current fiscal framework as it stands, you differ with it, we want to hear your view. Give us your view. We engage it. It's not there. We've been waiting for that. Now, Chair, to comply, because I know when David plays this, what he's going to do. He's going to go into the chamber tomorrow and say this is not the report and they're going to challenge it legally. I cannot remove that thing. I want us to follow the procedure. You see, leave how we have been doing it all these years. Let's follow the procedure. Let the select committee go and do its part and bring the very same report we tabled here. Because even if he goes to the chamber and say that this is not a fiscal framework, then it's his problem because he never proposed any revised framework in all our discussions. So there is nothing to discuss, right? Then we are done. You see, we like to be nice, and sometimes you are overly nice to this man. This man is not about arguing a policy. He wants the GA to govern parallel to the ANC, and he doesn't have concrete proposal to tell us what is it that like, we're not doing right. If the economy did not perform, it did not perform. You blame it to us, well and good. It's fine, but we were given facts here that the private sector did not come on board. Thank you very much. Chair, don't make me overwork.
Can I also say, just to, there's nothing to hide here. We had asked Mr. Mania, he offered to give his comments on Friday afternoon, which he didn't do. I asked Alan, has he got any comments? No. I then SMS'd him to say, can you send me your comments? And I think I spoke to him over the phone. And he knows, he might deny this now, as often happens, but I had several exchanges with him, two or three, both by SMS and by call. And it was clear to me that he was not going to make any... proposals because he said various things and he was going to come here and do it. So in that sense, again, it's a lack of good faith. But that doesn't mean a person cannot ask and do what he wants. It's not about being nice. The rules provide that people have a right to speak. And I've explained while I'm chairing, I will abide by the rules. People are free in my own party to move a motion of no confidence in me, but they must change the rules. So now let's make this clear. You know, David, you're being extremely difficult because the outcomes are not going to be any different. we offered you a way out, which is to say, suggest a compromise. And what we will do is we work towards amending the bill, and where we do amend the bill, we're not going to overhaul it. We will abide by it there. In other words, we'll be more practicable. Can I ask you one question only? Do you think it's going to make any difference to the quality or substance of the report if we have 30 days to look at the three-year fiscal framework, the proposed? It's not. We're going to come, it's the same researchers, the same chairs, right? So basically, yeah, that's the question. It's not going to make any difference.
Sure. 9 days or 30 days.
And we vote for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
One chance.
So on the issue of my approach, I mean, I've been accused of being dishonest. There's no point in me making proposals about the revised fiscal framework or the proposed fiscal framework if the process is deficient. So my first objective is to ensure that the process is deficient. I'm quite happy to make proposals once I'm satisfied that the process is back on track. On your question, yes, I actually think it would make a difference. So we have a proposed fiscal framework which, in my view, proposes unsustained debt levels. And it does so precisely because Cabinet made no decision, or as Michael said...
So let's uncover that ground. That's not what I'm asking you. Answer the question precisely. You're saying it would make a difference. So let's agree to disagree.
No, it would make. I'm going to explain how.
But not, don't give us the policy issues.
You must only wait for 30 days for you to make proposal.
So on Friday, you'll recall that I said that the biggest mystery or the biggest question in respect to the medium-term budget policy statement is why the executive decided to take no decision. I proposed that the minister should appear and explain. You said, oh, there's no time. Well, in fact, there's plenty of time. So in fact, the quality of our deliberations on the proposed fiscal framework would be of significantly higher quality if we paused and took the time and abided by the Moneyballs Act.
Not true at all.
I don't want to enter in a long discussion. Absolutely, fundamentally not true. If we invite the minister once again, what is it new that we're going to ask? You're going to repeat your questions, we're going to repeat our questions, and the same process. The more I listen to you, the more convinced I am how much we need to amend the Money Bills Act. Can I now make a proposal based on this? Charles, can you help me here? One?
Can we finish this thing off? Because we can't
leave
your misconceptions.
You see, let's remind David how the process runs. First, it was the lockup. Everything was explained. The minister made the statement inside the chamber. The minister came after. We questioned the minister. David was there. David accused the minister that he did not have any new proposal to the fiscal framework. We accepted his view. It's his view. He could not direct us to a policy decision where he believes we could have acted differently. We went to an extent by saying, can you please give us proposals if you have them? He said to us, Friday evening those proposals will be ready. We've been waiting the whole weekend. They're not there. Now today he changes tune. He changes tune. And he makes the same accusation. And he wants us not to say it as is that, and this is not the first time David, I can make examples on how many occasions David has made, even on legislation, even when we're dealing with the Twin Peaks legislation, he behaved in the same manner. He pretended that we are not following the procedure. He could not show us in any document
wrong.
Of Parliament.
Actually wrong, and they embarrassed the senior office bearer who admitted that.
That's what I'm saying.
Actually wrong, David.
No, we must clear,
the
air. This guy does not have proposals. He is buying time based on the questions he asked. He wants the National Treasury to give him a certain information that he wants to use against him. I alerted the meeting to this. People were saying it is right. Well, there is right. But these rights are not honest rights. Where people just want to, he's dishonest, and I'm going to say it today here, David Lane is a dishonest man.
Right, fine. So can I make a ruling now?
Sorry?
Yeah,
you have a right to reply.
I have a right to. So I'm accused of being dishonest. Now, the ratio that I asked the National Treasury to provide on Friday, if you recall correctly, was the total public sector debt and the total projected public sector debt. Now, why did I ask that?
And why is this regarded with so much suspicion and thought to be dishonest when? And it seems that Tandi might help to help herself by familiarizing herself with the Moneyball Act. The Moneyball Act says, Section 7B, when introducing the budget, the minister is obliged to include key fiscal ratios for the financial year and the subsequent 2 years, including revenue expenditure, the primary balance, the overall balance, outstanding general government, and public sector debt. It is in the Act.
Treasury
I'm ruling now.
I am saying, don't tell us what's in the bill.
You see, it's a charade, right? You have to perform here. Right? By winking at her, right? It's a charade. You're performing here. Look, he must reply to the issue of his attack on his integrity. What he is doing is not doing that. He's repeating to us what's in the bill. So I rule once again, you want to reply to the issue of the attack on your integrity, please go ahead, but don't tell us what's in the bill. I mean, in the Act, we know that. Right, fine. So he's happy, Mr. Leaf. You're not. Good. Let's move on.
I'm here.
On the matter of your integrity, that's all. She's attacking you and saying you are dishonest. On that one, you should reply. But you have no right to repeat the issues you've already mentioned to us about what's in the Act. We know that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, then Tandi has no right to make the accusations on his integrity. How can you shut David down?
Let him respond to the issue of his integrity, right? Mr. David, can you respond on that?
Let him challenge
fine.
That one.
I'm simply making the point, Chair, that I've been accused of a lack of integrity because I asked National Treasury to provide the total public figures surrounding, or the ratios surrounding total public sector debt and the projected public sector debt. On that basis, I'm accused of not having integrity. I point out that ratio.
There's not a basis on which you said that.
No. But let me just make a more general comment about you. Can you all sort this out here? Can you all sort this out there? I'm really? No. Nobody's speaking except for the chair. He's got...
Help us.
Chairperson, on page 5, table 1.2, consolidated government fiscal framework captures what has been said now. What was our projections February? What is it now? Until the end of the financial year, 31st of March 2018, is what is it for the outer years. There it is. If that picture can be incorporated into our report, it covers everything.
Okay. So can we suggest now, we want to suggest a way forward. We think we should stop the process now of this discussion. We should ask the team to go and separate the fiscal framework issues and the 3-year cycle, the proposed fiscal framework. Even if the report is 2 pages in the one case or 3 pages in one case and about 8 to 10 in the other case. However, the submissions made by the public, they don't draw that distinction. So what you've got to do is retain for both reports, as clumsy as this now is. It's utterly clumsy, really. The more I think about it, the more this Money Bills Act, whoever did it, I don't just mean if you were here, Shah, you are not here. You must take some responsibility for this. So what we're going to do is, everything remains the same up till the observations and recommendations. Right? Because, although the introduction will be different, am I right, the introduction will be different, the submissions will be retained in both reports. The one report is done jointly. Frank, am I right? This year's fiscal framework is done together. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the our second 30-day one, the projected fiscal, is done separately.
Chairperson, it was for the interest of time that the revised fiscal framework envisages a sitting of the two committees. I want to say that it's not a joint committee, as was defined in the joint rules.
Yeah.
So it's still separate committees with this one report that reports to the two.
It makes it even easier. So we can sit together and vote, which is what we do, actually. That's what we do. We vote separately. So that's not an issue. So all right, let's do it. It's so simple. So now it's, yes, on process issues. On process issues.
I just want Advocate Jenkins to explain what is a joint committee and
two committees
in terms of the explanation of the rules, so that there's no confusion, because that's where the confusion lies.
Okay, good. Tasneem?
No, Chair, I'm covered, because this is not a joint, it's not a joint committee, it's two committees sitting together.
Frank, explain the rules.
The, in the case of two committees sitting together making a decision on the same report, they're going to have, the issue of quorum and voting must be determined separately in terms of the NCOP rules and the NA rules. When we have a joint committee, we're going to determine the quorum requirement and the voting, whether it's passed in terms of the joint rules. So it's obviously the issue of the provincial delegations come into play when we're dealing with NCOP.
Yeah, we've been voting. So the next issue I'm going to ask you is, in other words, what you are saying, can members be clear about this? What you are saying is, sitting together as we've been doing since 2009 is not the issue. Two, we've been voting a separate committee. Three, it will continue like that. Four, can we, the two committees, adopt the same report? Good. Now, I never always did it, but somebody's going to now go to lawyers and all that sort of stuff. Fine. Okay, so the only issue then, team, I'm sorry about this, I really think it adds no value. It's not going to have any outcome. It's not going to impact on the masses out there. And certainly this committee won't agree in the new dispensation to have two separate public hearings on the fiscal framework, one for the revised fiscal framework and one for the projected fiscal framework. I mean, that would be absurd to fly people up and down. And in future, we will just separate it by 2 or 3 days. So in other words, the other report on the projected fiscal framework we're going to adopt next Tuesday. Okay? Is that fine, colleagues? Right.
So now we deal with the revised.
Yeah. No, it's the committee's decision. No more. David, right, so the committee's agreeing. Can somebody move and second that proposal, please? So we are doing exactly that.
Separating the revised.
And then when we vote on the revised fiscal framework this afternoon, I would say 3 o'clock, right? And the vote on the projected fiscal framework for the 3-year on Tuesday next. Is that agreed?
Yeah.
Right, thank you very much. So can we move a seconder?
Moving,
right, is there a seconder? Thank you, Tandi. Right.
We should be informed of the venue.
Right, now, Ellen, because Tevo is busy with the minutes. Where's Ellen? Can you look for G26 if possible, man? Because we're having a three-line move on our side. Sorry? Yeah. G26, preferably, because we have a three-line group in the National Assembly. All right, so work on that, Alan, and can you sort it out? Or somewhere near the old near the National Assembly. Thank you very much. Can we now move on to the...
you can be excused.
The HPL. You have got the bill before you. Colleagues, I just want to give you a quick overview of what we've done on the HPL, right? It's available. 3 o'clock. Can the chairs have it by 2 o'clock, please? Why are you sitting here, guys? Can you please go? Even you. Zakeli, you coordinating, right?
Why you apologize? Did you sit for hours and hours working on that?
Yeah.
Okay, can we start, colleagues? On the matter of the HPL and the rates bill, can we have attention, please? We have to vote on this thing in the next 24 hours. Firstly, we had extensive public hearings at the beginning of the year, before the bill was even informally introduced. After the bill was informally introduced, we had extensive public hearings again. We've had discussions ad nauseum on this. Finally, we referred the matter to NEDLAC. NEDLAC has agreed to process the matter. They have given us the report. The report's been given to you. And one of the issues we need to decide is whether we table that report in the ACC so that we hold to account National Treasury and DOH on the decisions taken at NEDLAC. So on the HPL, we asked Frank Jenkins to go through this version of the bill and check that it's exactly as we had the previous version. In other words, what we agreed to informally, you know how the bills work, we process them informally, then the minister introduces them formally. It's an unusual set of circumstances, but this is the way it's done, and there is no other way in the circumstances that we can do it. So I'm going to ask Treasury for some comments on the current version of the bill. I have contacted my daughter, Velakazi, from NEDLAC, the CEO, or the director, as he's called, and asked him if he will come before our committee to speak to the agreement that they signed. He said that he didn't think there was a need for it because there's nothing much to say. The agreement has been signed now, and he had subsequently previously given us a letter to confirm the progress in that regard. So he said there's no need for him to hear, but he, you know, he's happy to take any questions outside the meeting. So that said, can we hand over to Treasury? And then, Frank, you've gone through the bill. Let's start with you. And it's exactly as we processed, right? So now it's a mere formality to vote on it, right? Right. Okay. Then go over to Ismail.
Okay. Treasury, Chair, thanks. I think from Treasury, we've really got nothing more to say. Both the same. And, yeah, so we'll say nothing more.
All right, so in that case, we're going to go through the bill. But before we do, the reason I was about 3 minutes late this morning is I was trying desperately to get this report done on the rates bill. And I don't think it's finished. It's 90% done. I think there's no hurry. We can vote on all three bills tomorrow. But what we will do, what we will do now, Frank,
can we vote on the clauses of the bill and then vote on the report tomorrow? Yeah, we've done that before, right? So we're going to vote on the clauses of the bill. In respect of the report which goes to it, I will send it out to you this afternoon. But basically it deals with, you know, in a nutshell, unless you've got new ideas, it's explaining how the bill, it deals with rates and monetary bill at home. It deals with HPL, explains why it was brought in, its background to the health promotion levy, the objectives, and then what the committee dealt with in the consultation process, right? There were four issues that I think we remember, unless people can think of any others. One, if we introduce an HPL, what impact would it have on job losses, and how can we mitigate that? Two, what impact on African emerging farmers, and what can we do about that? Three, the one issue you need to address, Momo, before we part, is apart from the HPL, what else is being done by DOH to create awareness about the health consequences of SSBs? You know, we know a bit about that. But the question is, could part or all of the money raised through an HPL be used to tackle health issues related to obesity? Many of us felt that that's what should be done. You say you don't like ring fencing. Just give us a quick reply to that.
Chair, look, ring fencing is really not a very efficient way. Sometimes you may want to spend more money on it, not less. In fact, in this instance, we don't even know how much money we're going to generate. So it's essentially a budgeting issue. And certainly when we've spoken to our health colleagues, I think they've championed the whole issue of dealing with obesity, so one would expect through the budget, even in these tough times, that there will be funds, which you will see in the budget when the minister releases it next year, February.
Yeah, it's a very weak answer in my view, but I don't know if anybody else likes it. It's a very weak answer.
They always say it's weak.
No, this is a very weak answer. Look, firstly, I mean, Momo, listen to what you're saying. You're saying because you don't know how much is required to tackle obesity, you may need more. Therefore, if you get 10 rounds from HPL and you may need 15 rounds, it's a problem. No, you take the 10 rounds from the HPL and you add the extra 5 rounds. Momo, I mean, that's a weak argument. There are other arguments you used to give about ring fencing. Can you give us a paragraph or so about it? I don't agree with it personally, but the meeting doesn't have an appetite for it, so let's pass on. Oh, Tandy, you got your hand on.
Chair, I see you're an activist now about ring fencing, but let me tell you the challenges of ring fencing. And I'm not paid by National Treasury. I wish they could give me some additional income, then I'll have babysitters, you know, I'll not be late. Chair, you see, if we say we must ring fence money for the HPL, then the environmental people are going to say ring fence the environmental levy, the tire levy, and all other levies that you are charging to be directed to that. And it's going to change how you deal with issues of revenue collection in its entire. Provinces will say what we collected as province A must come directly to us. You know what it means for the fiscal if you're going to. So it means there's going to be imbalances in terms of how you allocate. Gauteng will say we generate more income in the whole country, therefore what we generate belongs to us as the province, right? And you see, I'm speaking on your behalf. I don't know why didn't you say all these things, and they must be said by me. Now, it's going to be a challenge. Now, when we speak to activists, we might want to tone it down and explain how we can allocate additional funding to fight lifestyle diseases like diabetes, for instance. Without necessarily saying that you are not going to reinvest. Because if there's some when I'm mobilizing to say if some 1% extra allocation to the Department of Health and it becomes a, like the way you deal with the ECD grant, there's a grant within a grant that is given specifically, so you might want to check the possibility of establishing, I don't know what type of grants you give for that, but to see you can't give a percentage term for that to deal specifically with lifestyle diseases, because this in any way will have been generated through that. Chair, I'm trying to make everybody
happy. Fine, okay, you cover the grant. It's fine, we'll need a paragraph from you for the report, right, on why you can't do it. Yeah, they have to put in the report. I don't agree, but it's fine. Let's move on. Can we now look at the bill? Okay. Are there any issues people want us to put in the report apart from the four major themes and what I described? No. Okay. You can comment tomorrow morning. Right. Now, Frank, you're going to help me along here, right? And well, it has to be you because the staff is gone, right? So, on clause one as it is, the interpretation, any comments? No. I'll take it it's adopted. Frank, am I right? These days we don't vote on every clause, eh, like we used to do in 1998 when I first... Yeah. Okay, can I ask for agreement that we go through page by page rather than each clause? Is that agreed? Right.
Chairman, I'm entirely happy with that, but I mean, you know that...
You're going to oppose it, yeah.
No, I didn't say that, Mr. Chairman. No, it's nice that you... perhaps we should... But
Mr. Mayor said you're going to oppose it on
Okay, but the caucus still got to make a decision. Okay. That's basically what I'm saying, is that I can't agree or disagree either way.
Okay, the other thing I want to clarify, we abide by the rules. We're just being given a lecture here on the rules and the law, right? Whenever we vote on this version of the bill, Can somebody visit this, please? Because I really don't want to go through this. The last time, we were delayed for nothing. It embarrassed the senior officer. They all admitted that they'd done the wrong thing by telling us to postpone it. Remember the FSR bill?
I told you.
And they were wriggling around. They claimed they were misinformed by a certain party. When I spoke to a certain individual, he said it was beyond him. When I spoke to that individual, they said they didn't know about the... it's very funny. They delayed the bill. Let me tell you what happens in the corridors here. So, I want this minuted. We are voting on this version of the bill. It's called the B version of the bill. Am I correct?
Yes.
That's what the rules Frank say we must vote on.
Mr. Bovas introduced not the B version, Chair.
Sorry?
Not the B version.
It's now because of the way... but this is the bill we're voting on.
Exactly.
Because of the way it works, right? Now, soon the DA will come with some other objection to this process and take us to the Constitutional Court. But hey, you know what? I've got a life. Let them stew there. All right. So basically, we are voting on this version of the bill. And that's it. There's not going to be another version of the bill here because there aren't now amendments like normal, right? So in this one, we're on, even they can't go and complain wrongly to the people who don't know what they... Well, let me tell you
something. It's bizarre what happened that day. Bizarre. When I confronted them, none of them took responsibility. They blamed a certain party for it.
So, fine, let's move on. Close one. Right. Can we go page by page? I think Mr. Lees, you agree. Note that Mr. Lees agrees, please. Right. So, right, on page 3. So we'll go to the court soon enough. Page 4. Page 4. Mr. Lees agrees. Agrees that we should process this. Note on every page, please. Page 5, note that Mr. Lees agreed we can look at the whole page. Get him to sign. Get to Mr. Lees. Page 6, anybody? I don't care, actually. It's my right to say 7.
That's the sad
thing about it. 8. 9.
You should care.
10. Right, page 11 of the schedules, right?
No, this 12. Is two page 11s, Chairman. I need to go to
very funny. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. There's the health promotion levy. 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. 28, page 29, page 30, page 31, 32, 33, I take it as no objections. Is there a mover for the bill as a whole? Ah, now of course when we're voting she's gone. We don't have a quorum. Thanks to Pinky.
She went to the loser.
Alright, we'll have to wait then.
We have 2, 4, 5.
That's a
touch.
Very funny. We'll get another member. I'm guessing he will be voting. Yeah. All right, we need one more member. Yeah, meanwhile,
can I say something off the record?
There's always this nice, Mr.
Chairman. Yeah, well, firstly, I think the original version, especially that you came with, off the record, there's no journalist, it's off the record. Like, PMG, are you here? Where's PMG? My brother, you're not going to record this, right? Otherwise, you'll have to leave. Right. I actually think that the version you came with was much better than the version you got. That's my personal view. I'm unapologetic about it. Secondly, I hope that my brother there from Kosatu carries the support of the proletariat. He's very conciliatory. That's all off the record. But you know, Matthew, you are nowhere near as fierce as you should be, like your leadership. Right.
Stand up. Pinky is here. Pinky? Pinky is here.
She must have got you.
Yeah, okay. Right, can you please vote on this vote? So we can go. Right, so Tandy, are you here, right? So, right, so they move us to the vote. As a whole. We don't have a mover, so we'll have to respond. Oh, there's a mover and a seconder, thank you. Can I just say in conclusion that I want to thank on behalf of the committee everybody who participated, the two departments, the trade unions, because I've always been here, the NGOs that are here, and so on. I know that everybody has some or other grievance with the bill. Unfortunately, this is the way we have to manage the process. It's a give-and-take process, and the aim of the bill is to open the door to having HBL. And now we have to see how it works and what impact it has on job losses through the NEDLAC process and on emerging African farmers in particular and the industry as a whole. So we hope that in future, we would like to suggest in our report that in 2019, there's a regular reports to you'll see tomorrow, Momo, on what's going on in NEDLAC. We can't just leave it lying in the air. And there's Matthew here will harass us. I wonder how he'll harass future chairpersons there. Our generation's great, you know, let's see who comes in. But in any case, you know, we are concerned about implementing the NEDLAC deal. And secondly, we have to get regular reports on progress. Because nobody, Momo, even a mathematical genius like you, knows exactly how it's going to impact. So we have to have regular reports. And we urge the NGOs, I know they're feeling very aggrieved and hurt and so on, from, especially the ANC, we're a progressive national democratic movement, whatever that means in these days. And they expect us to be more conciliatory. But they also have to understand that when you're playing the roles we are as MPs, we have to mediate also contending and competing interests in the society out there, not least in our own broad movement. We represent workers and business people and people in the health sector and those who love sugar and so on. So basically what I'm saying, colleagues, is that this is the best we could do in the current balance of forces. Hopefully, the negative impacts of job losses and on the industry and on emerging entrepreneurs in particular will be far less than any projections, in which case it would seem reasonable to say that majority in the ANC at least would want you to increase the HBL. On the other hand, it applies equally. If the consequences are worse than anything we could have predicted, you have to review your table there at the end. Thank you very much.
Chair, yeah, sorry,
I agree with your summary, especially your kind of directive at the end is very good. But I want to say that notwithstanding your constant insults on all of us, and to say, you know, that your insults are considerable, but they're quite even-handed, ANC and the DA all become the victims of your insults. Notwithstanding that, I want to express appreciation for the way you've conducted this, especially this one, and the public participation, giving everybody an opportunity. I think it's really been an excellent example of how one mediates between different views and reaches a kind of a consensus position that not everybody is delighted about. But I think not having been in the committee for very long, I think this is a great exercise in public participation. So well done.
Yeah, but it's the committee as well that does it. Now, Derek, when I spoke to you about what you should say now, I told you to say more things. I'm so disappointed. You can't be my bounty anymore. You are fired. Thank you very much.
I forget
Mr. Chairman, sir, do I get payments as well for my...
Judge, are you aware that there is a research that says type 2 diabetes is mixed. It's misdiagnosed. Actually, there's a type 3 diabetes.
Really, what's that?
So you might want to even...
What's type 3?
No, I read about it. There are those people who work in that sector, they will tell you.
Anyway, Chair, forward to a healthier South Africa. Healthier and thinner South Africa.
And on his way out, Derek, on his way out, we have a coach there. You know how he does. We're meeting at 3, please. Let's not run. Hey, Sandy. Hey, wonderful.
What's the deal?
No, because the Parliament doesn't want to it. I mean, I told you we can't do it. I mean, it's a lot of work, really. Just wait. Tomorrow we'll vote on all the bills if all goes well. Sandy, it's such a relief now. You will have to ensure we get a quorum, my dear.
I'm sorry.
It's not my
job
anymore.
Because I was worried about...
I'm just going to phone the...
You
tell them that you dominate.
Ah!
No, that's what
I'm saying. You dominate. Because I'm not ready.
What are you...
I'm not going to do that.
Thank you.